Recently, I saw a clip from a comedian named Sebastian Maniscalco, and he was talking about how different it is today when your doorbell rings versus, say, 20, 30 years ago. And what he said is 20, 30 years ago, when your doorbell rang, it was a happy moment in your house because that meant that company was there. And he said you could, you know, the whole family would be gathered together Thursday night watching TV and the doorbell rang and the whole family would spring off the couch and you'd say, turn the lights on because we've got company. And you'd go to the door. The whole family would go to the door and children would slide up in their socks. And you wouldn't even look to see who it was. You'd just open up the door and say, oh my goodness, come on in. And whoever was standing there would say something like, well, you know, I was just in the neighborhood and I decided I would stop by and see how the kids are doing. And you'd welcome them right in and you'd say, come on in, we're going to have some cake. And what he said was, your mom always had this Sara Lee crumble cake that was ready to go. And when she bought it, she made an announcement to everybody. Now, this cake is for company only. All those junk muffins over there, those are for you people, but this is for company. And you'd invite your company in and you'd sit down at the kitchen table and you put the cake in the middle and then your mom would say something like, you want some coffee? You want some Sanka? Now, some of you have no idea what that is. And that makes me laugh, but because I remember all of this. I remember as a kid, cousins and neighbors and friends just dropping by unannounced and you'd welcome them in and they'd stay a couple of hours and everybody was happy. And I remember that big brown and orange tin of Sanka that was always in our house. I remember this and everybody was so happy to have company. But he said, now your doorbell rings. And it's like, what in the world? Shh. Get down. And I was sitting there listening to this comedian talking. I was dying laughing because that's so true. I've had those experiences myself. We moved last Christmas to a new house, but before that, our house, the front door of our house was mostly glass. So you could stand outside our front door and see all the way through the foyer. You could see into the kitchen. You could see a good portion of the downstairs, except for the living room that was tucked away a little bit. And there's so many times I'd be in the living room and the doorbell would ring and I'd immediately hit mute on the TV and freeze. And then, you know, I would sneak over to the corner and I knew if I peeked around the corner at normal height, there was a good chance I'd be seen. I'm a little ashamed to admit this, but I got down on my stomach and peeked around the corner to see who it was. And about the third time that happened, I remember thinking, I'm a grown man. And this is my house. What am I doing here? But you know, that's kind of the way we respond to company. And even if the person at the door is somebody you want to see and somebody you would enjoy talking to, still, sometimes you're afraid to go to the door because the house is a mess. And we tend to want to hide our messes, don't we? We don't want anybody to see our messes. We're afraid for anybody to see that we actually live in our house. And we'd rather give the impression that our lives are perfect. That we've got everything pieced together, that everything's neat and orderly and tidy. And we're scared to death to admit that sometimes it's not just our houses that are a mess. Sometimes it's our lives too. Well, what if that person who was ringing the doorbell, what if that person who was coming to your house, what if that were Jesus? We're about to read a story from Scripture about somebody whose life was a mess. He'd made a mess of his life, but then he gets visited by Jesus. We're going to pick up the story in Luke chapter 19, and I'll start with verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region and had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," Jesus said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He's going to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. Jesus came to address your mess. Can you do that for me? You can do it with a little attitude if you want to. Jesus came to address your mess. Can you imagine Jesus walking along with the crowds that have started to follow him when all of a sudden he comes upon this tax collector in a tree? You don't normally see tax collectors in trees. And so this is out of the ordinary. But that's where Jesus finds Zacchaeus. He's up there hanging from a limb because he wants to see Jesus, but there's such a crowd around Jesus, he can't get to Jesus. And he's too short to see over the crowd, so he does the only thing he knows how to do. Because nobody in this crowd is going to help out Zacchaeus. He's not exactly made a lot of friends. I mean, after all, he is the chief tax collector, so he's nobody's favorite person. Now, if you think tax collectors are unpopular today, you need to know that in Jesus' day, they're more than just unpopular. They are despised because they work for the Roman government and nobody likes the Roman government. Plus, so they're considered traitors. Plus, they're also considered crooks because so many of them would skim off the top and charge more than they should for taxes and then line their pockets with the rest. And we know from this passage that Zacchaeus has probably done that. So nobody's going to help out Zacchaeus. Nobody's going to feel sorry for him. Nobody's going to say, "Hey, y'all, can you back up a little bit so little Zacchaeus can make his way through the crowd to see Jesus?" Nobody's going to do that. In fact, they're probably going to box him out. Maybe throw an elbow if they get a shot. But they're not going to help out Zacchaeus. So he runs ahead of the crowd and he climbs up this tree and he waits for Jesus to come by. Now, what would make a rich, powerful little man like Zacchaeus climb a tree? Why would he be so desperate? Somebody with that much power and money, why would they be so desperate to see this itinerant teacher named Jesus? Well, maybe the answer is Zacchaeus has learned that money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy respect or friends, and it definitely can't buy love. Plus, Zacchaeus knows that he is a mess. He knows he's made a mess. Now, he didn't set out to. He didn't set out to be a mess. Nobody does. Nobody wakes up in the morning and decides, "Okay, today's the day I'm going to make a mess out of my life." Nobody wakes up and sets a goal. "Okay, today I want to wreck my marriage or ruin my family's finances or shatter my reputation." Nobody wakes up in the morning and decides, "Today's the day I'm going to damage my relationship with my children." Nobody does that. But those things happen. And they happen slowly. Over time, by an accumulation of bad but small, subtle decisions. It's usually a slow fade of these smallest decisions that land us in the biggest of messes. Messes that are so big and so deep that we have no hope of digging ourselves out of them on our own. Now in the church, we call these small, subtle decisions and the subsequent big messes they create, we call that sin. sin isn't just the bad decisions, the bad behaviors we seem to sometimes not be able to avoid, but sin is the general condition of our overall brokenness. It's kind of who we are. Even when we don't want to do bad, we do. And even when we want to do good, we fail. We are so broken and so sinful and so helpless to do anything about that fact that we find ourselves, when it comes to saving ourselves, completely lost. We couldn't get to God if we wanted to. And that's the situation Zacchaeus finds himself in. He's trying to sneak a peek at Jesus, but he can't get there. There's too many people, and he comes up short. And so he climbs a tree, and that's when Jesus pushes through that crowd, walks up to the tree, and out of all of those people who are in the throngs that are following Jesus, out of all the people in the crowd, out of all the houses Jesus could have chosen to visit, Jesus walks up to that tree and calls this tax collector by name. Zacchaeus. There's power in being called by name. Zacchaeus, get down out of that tree. I'm going to your house today. Can you imagine that? Jesus seeks out the biggest little sinner in all of Jericho. And he goes to his house. Andy Stanley says that this. He says, your mess has the potential to bring God close to you. Your mess has the potential to bring God close to you. And it's true. I mean, Jesus could have picked anybody in that crowd. Jesus could have found some holy person. He could have found somebody to whom everybody else looked up to as a role model and a leader. But instead, he chooses this wee little man who was a huge sinner. And everybody knew it. And he says to Zacchaeus, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house. Now, Zacchaeus doesn't have the luxury of just not answering the doorbell when it rings. He can't go run and hide, and he has no time to run ahead of Jesus and get his house all cleaned up and get his mess in order. He doesn't have time to do that because Jesus jerks him down out of that tree and says, I know it's a mess. I know you're a mess, but I'm going to your house because I came to address your mess. Zacchaeus can't get to Jesus. So Jesus comes to Zacchaeus. That's what we Methodists call prevenient grace. It's the way we talk about the grace that goes before any of our actions. The ways in which God is already at work before we can do anything. How God's drawing us to himself and working to repair the relationship between us. God knows there's nothing we can do about our sinfulness. And if we could fix ourselves, we'd do it. But we can't. If we could fix ourselves, we wouldn't even need Jesus. God knows that we're stranded, though. He knows we're powerless to do anything about our sinfulness. And then because of that, he brings us good news. And the good news is that the relentless God of the universe so desperately wants a relationship with us that he will stop at nothing to clear out all of the obstacles that are in the way, to come to us where we are, just as we are, to address our mess and make his home with us. Now, our sin is serious. Don't get me wrong about that. Our sin is serious, but the love of God is stronger. Thanks be to God that even when we can't get to God, God's already coming to us. Now notice, if you'll notice in the story, the other people around Zacchaeus don't really like what Jesus does. This is verse 7. But the people were displeased. They were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. You see, they think that they deserve to host Jesus more than Zacchaeus does. They think they deserve that more. I bet they could be heard saying things like, well, now I might not be perfect, but at least I'm not Zacchaeus. Maybe they prayed, as maybe you heard last week, God, thank you that I'm not like this tax collector. Maybe they prayed like that. To which Jesus said, well, if you're not like this tax collector, then I didn't come for you. If you think you're somehow better than this notorious sinner, this person you're talking about, you don't think I should go to his house. If you think you're somehow better than this notorious sinner, if you don't know that your sin makes you just as guilty and just as alienated and just as lost as little Zacchaeus in the tree, then there is nothing I can do for you because I came for sinners. Only sinners. If you're not a sinner, Jesus didn't come for you. I know that's kind of shocking to hear, right? But it's true. So this morning, if your life is perfect, if you've never had a scrape with the law, if you have no addictions, if your children are always obedient and respectful, if you have a model marriage and you've never made a mess of your life, then I'm going to go ahead and give you permission. I want you to do it quietly, but I'm going to give you permission to stand up and slip out the back. You can beat the Baptist to lunch. But seriously, you can go. Because you already have your blessing. But if you know you're a mess, if you know you've made a mess, then please also know that Jesus came just for you. Now, because you're all still here, I'm going to assume that you needed to hear that. Maybe you needed to hear that this morning because you're still in the middle of your mess and you don't know how you're going to get out of it. And it feels insurmountable at the moment. Maybe you're not in the middle of your mess right this second, but you have been in a mess and you probably will get back in a mess. And you know, this is your testimony right here. I messed up. I gave up. I looked up and God showed up. Is that anybody's testimony out there? If it is, say amen. I messed up. I gave up. I looked up, and that's exactly when God showed up. Now, when we mess up, we have to fess up. But sometimes our mess leads to our master. Or more accurately, leads our master to us. Because Jesus came to address our mess. There's one more thing I don't want you to miss about the story with Zacchaeus. It's in verse 8. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Now, sometimes in the Gospels, when Jesus offers grace to a notorious sinner, he'll tell them right off the bat, now, you've been forgiven, but go and leave your life of sin. You've been forgiven, but turn away, change your life. But he never makes it that far with Zacchaeus. He doesn't have a chance because Zacchaeus is so overwhelmed, so overcome by the fact that Jesus would come to him, so overwhelmed by the grace of Jesus that he wants automatically and immediately to make amends and turn his life around. He wants to repent and get back on track. God's grace empowers him. God's grace sets him free from the mess that he's made, and he gets to start over, start fresh with a new life as a follower of Jesus. Grace made Zacchaeus want to change what was gross about his life. It didn't just want to make him, it didn't just make him want to change. Grace gave him the power to change what was gross in his life. A few weeks back, if you were here, you might remember that I said I was trying to come up with a new image for grace. And I said grace is like, God's grace is like Uber. It picks you up wherever you are, but always takes you to a new destination. Well, here's what I wish I had added to that. I'm going to add it this morning. And somebody else picks up the tab. Because it costs something to ride on Uber. But grace is free. It's not just, it's free to us, but it costs somebody something. It costs Jesus, and Jesus has paid the price. So grace is like Uber. It picks us up wherever we are, but always takes us to a new destination. And Jesus has paid the price. See, when we're too broken and lost to get to Jesus, Jesus is already coming to us in our brokenness, where we are, just as we are. And Jesus comes to us there in our brokenness to break the bonds of that brokenness and set us free. Jesus came to address our mess. Thanks be to God for that.